When the bell above Java Jean's front door jingled, I didn't even look up. But then I heard a voice that made the blood in my veins run New York winter cold.
I completely understand. I'll take care of it right away. Right. Sounds good, the voice said.
I gripped the edge of the counter, grateful it was there to hold me up. Because hearing Alex Randall's voice, that was enough to put me flat on the floor. Chloe leaned toward me. Danny, are you okay? I forced a breath in through my nose and out through my mouth. Maybe it wasn't him. Maybe it was some other southern guy that just sounded like him. Some other guy who didn't have wavy chestnut hair or perfect brown eyes, or an incredible dusting of freckles across perfectly chiseled cheekbones. I closed my eyes, a sudden swell of anger surging to the surface, making my skin feel hot, prickly. I could envision those eyes like it was yesterday, like it hadn't been 12 agonizing months since he'd left New York. Since he'd left me. I snuck a brief glance over my shoulder, my heart tripling its speed as soon as I determined that, yes, the one and only Alex Randall was standing less than 10 feet away from me. At once, I felt both elated to see him again. I'd loved the man after all. And furious that he felt like he had any right to place himself within a 100-mile radius of where he knew me to be. Java Jean's was my territory. Maybe he'd introduce me to the place, but he'd ceded it when he'd left. He was the guilty one. The heartbreaking, dream-crushing, soul-stabbing, vanishing act that had nearly been my undoing. A year-long relationship, and he'd left without even sending a text. If not for my job at Lefranc and my close friends rallying around me, I might have left New York altogether. But I couldn't have run home even if I'd wanted to. Home was where Alex had gone. If I had tucked tail and gone to Charleston, it would have looked like I was running to him. Alexander Ellison Randall III had eased into my life with the grace you might expect from someone named like they belonged in the pages of a Civil War-era romance novel. We'd met at a fancy party on the Upper East Side, where anyone who was anyone in fashion was in attendance. From the cultured southern accent that made me feel homesick, and at home all at the same time, to his stories of spending his summers in New York with his stepfather, the legendary Alessio Lefranc, who I'd idolized since childhood. It hadn't taken me more than a minute to fall for him. I couldn't stand there gripping the Java Jean's counter forever. I had to face him. Unless I wanted to vault over the cash register and belly crawl my way to the back room. And there was no way my guipure lace was belly crawling anywhere. Taking one last breath and willing my nerves to calm, I turned around. We made eye contact. At once, I was grateful I'd heard him come in, that I'd at least had a few seconds to prepare. I'd clearly caught him by surprise. The shock of the moment was written all over his face. He froze, his jaw hanging open, and his cell phone, once secure in his hand, clattered to the tile floor at his feet. He scrambled to pick up his phone, wiping it on his sleeve before quickly dropping it into the inside pocket of his suit coat. And oh, what a suit. The color was good. Blue, not too bright. Just bold enough to give him an edge over the more conservative grays and blacks. The fabric was expensive. The tailoring impeccable. His tie was great. Silk. Purple. And his shoes? Sweet tea and cornflakes. Medallion toe Oxfords in a rich brown leather I immediately wished I could touch. I'd forgotten how good he made clothes look. Hi, I managed to say,